Father Leslie Rumble was an Australian priest who hosted a radio show called Question Box, in which he answered apologetics questions from listeners. Father Charles Cardi, an American priest, had a similar radio show called The Catholic Radio Hour. These two priests compiled many of these questions and answers in a series of books called Radio Replies. We present here some of the questions and answers.
Is there only one true church? Question. I cannot adopt any definite profession of faith because the heads of all the different churches disagree. Answer. If they disagree, that shows at most that you cannot take their word on behalf of their own churches, but it does not follow that there is not a right church amongst them all. Your duty is to inquire and find the church Christ actually established. Question. But the clergy themselves are in deadly opposition and cannot tell me for certain what Christianity means. Answer. There is no confusion amongst the clergy of the Catholic Church, which alone was established by Christ, and the Catholic Church alone can lawfully claim your allegiance. If you insist upon including all the man-made variations, then you are right about the conflicting views of the clergy, but that would not give you a true view of Christianity. As an agnostic friend of mine wisely remarked to me, if there be any true Christian church, it can only be the Catholic Church. He was right in his assertion, if not in his personal choice of unbelief. The logical choice does lie between Catholicism and agnosticism. Question. Why is there such enmity between the churches? Answer. There should never be enmity between the adherents of various churches, nor should there be separation between the churches themselves, and the best thing the children of the reformers could do would be to return to the Catholic Church their forefathers should never have left. Yet granted the existence of separated churches, Catholics who belong to the true church, whilst esteeming members of other churches, are obliged to condemn the principles which led to such a separation. Esteeming Protestants, they must try to separate the Protestants they esteem from the Protestantism they deplore. Question. How is it possible to believe all the religions that claim to be true? Answer. It is not possible. If any one of them is right, then the others are all wrong. No one asks you to take our word, however, for the truth of the Catholic Church. It can be proved historically that Christ lived, that he was God, and that he founded an imperishable church, which was to be one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Find that church, and you will have the true religion of Christ. Question. Can any one church claim to have all the truth, which has so many angles? Answer. The Catholic Church can and does claim to have all the truth, for you must not confuse false ideas which are opposed to the truth with merely different angles of the truth. If, for example, it be true that confession is a sacrament instituted by Christ, then denial of confession is not a different angle of the truth, but its negation. Question. There is no real lack of essential unity in the Christian churches at all. All together form the one true church. Answer. However nice that looks on paper, it is impossible. We cannot hold that hundreds of conflicting churches, even those disowning each other, are all one united church. The good Wesleyan who says that Rome is idolatrous would have to admit that the idolatrous Catholic belongs to the same church as himself and is equally a Christian. The notion demands not a little suppression of reason. Again, if the Catholic Church excommunicates a man, almost any Protestant church will promptly receive him. If the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church which receives him are one and the same, you will have the same Christ accepting and rejecting the same man at one and the same time. Question. Did not St. Paul acknowledge the various individual churches of his time? Answer. The churches to which St. Paul wrote were as much united as Catholics in London today are united in one church with the Catholics in New York, Berlin, Italy, and Australia. Non-Catholics, however, are not united, have not held fast to the traditions, believe practically as they please, and have made shipwreck of the faith as well as of disciplinary unity. Question. I admit that it is impossible to maintain that all the churches are really united into one church, but I deny that lack of unity really matters. After all, go into any Christian church and you will hear Christ preached and the word of God spoken. Answer. On that score, the Seventh-day Adventists who teach that the Pope is Antichrist and the Catholic Church which teaches that he is the very vicar of Christ would both be teaching doctrines equally pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, you will not hear Christ preached in any Christian church, for in all non-Catholic churches, you will hear now one, now another distorted aspect of Christian doctrine. Even did you hear the uncorrupted word of God in some non-Catholic church, that would not make you a member of Christ's true church. Question. If there were 12 roads leading to the one goal, would it matter which you took? Answer. Since God has distinctly said that he wishes us to take one particular road, the Catholic road, it does matter. Any doctrine which begins with the fundamental notion that one religion is as good as another soon ends in the conclusion that one religion is as useless as another. And the children of those who insist upon proclaiming that principle end up, as a rule, with no religion at all. Question. I am a Protestant who leads a good life, and that is enough. Answer. That you lead a good life is to be commended, but it would be better to do it in the way God wishes rather than in your own way. Your leading a good life cannot prove your religion true. If it did, then the fact that a Catholic lives a good life also proves the Catholic Church true. Yet if your religion is true, the Catholic Church is not. You cannot appeal to your own life as proof, but must find out how Christ described his church, and then look for that church. Question. But we Protestants believe that if a man lives a good life, no matter what church he accepts, he will save his soul. Answer. Some Protestants believe that, many do not. Good Protestants can be saved, but if they are good, they are Protestants in good faith who have the will to do God's will, and are not Catholics merely because they do not realize their obligation to join the true church. Question. Yet surely the only thing wrong is to do wrong. Answer. And is not one doing wrong when he refuses to bother about doctrinal belief? Why did Christ say, "He that believes shall be saved"? Why did he send the apostles to teach doctrine? Not only are good works required, but also the true faith. Question. Christianity is not a thing to be proved, it is a life to be lived. Answer. That is taking refuge in credulity. Every rational man, if he does a thing, should know why he does it. Moreover, Christianity is a set of truths to be believed as well as a life to be lived. It imposes obligations upon the intelligence as well as upon the will and the passions. Jesus said, "Repent and believe the gospel." But before a reasonable man believes, he must either prove the doctrine true in itself, or at least that God has revealed it. Then he knows that it must be true even though he himself does not fully comprehend it. To say that God is indifferent as to whether a man is a Protestant or a Catholic goes very close to blasphemy. If he revealed the doctrines of Protestantism, he could not possibly be pleased with the one who would deliberately accept the opposite by embracing Catholicism. Question. There is good and bad in all the churches. Answer. If you mean that there are good men and bad men in all religions, you are right. But if you mean that the teachings of all churches, including the Catholic Church, are partly true and partly false, you are wrong. The teachings of all non-Catholic churches are partly true and partly false. Partly true, for a religion consisting wholly of error could not exist. Partly false, because all non-Catholic churches are a denial that Christ made sufficient provision for the church he established. But not a single false doctrine is to be found in the official teaching of the Catholic Church, which is the work not of man, but of God. If a man is obliged to accept the truth in its entirety, and not a fragment of the truth, he is obliged to accept the Catholic Church as his guide. Question. Protestants know that no more is needed than prayer in their own hearts. Answer. Few Protestants would thank you for such a dreadful description of their religion. Nothing more is necessary? Do what you like, but say that prayer in your heart. Also, had Christ but one doctrine to give, namely, say a prayer in your own hearts, he went a very strange way about teaching that doctrine. Question. But I feel that I am right. I have the witness in myself. Answer. Witness in oneself may easily be purely subjective persuasion and is no sure test of truth. Men holding totally divergent views claim to experience this witness within themselves, yet they cannot all have the exact truth revealed by Christ. Thank God intellectual mistakes do not always mean evil dispositions, but remember that Christ allowed the Jews to go because they knowingly refused to accept his teaching on the Eucharist, a teaching you also reject. If you knew what you were doing, he would reject you also. Question. The kingdom of God is within you. Answer. The kingdom of God as established by Christ is at once a visible church in this world and an invisible spiritual kingdom of grace within the soul. External adherence to the visible kingdom demands also that Christ reign by grace within the soul. But this interior grace does not dispense a man from accepting the will of Christ once he is aware of it, nor from the obligation to join the visible kingdom established by him in this world. Christ distinctly said, "I will build my church," and again, "If a man will not hear the church, let him be as the heathen." He was obviously referring to the authority of a visible church. He also likened his church to a net holding good and bad fish. This cannot refer to a kingdom of spiritual and invisible grace only, for bad fish are not in a state of grace. Question. But why keep insisting that the Catholic Church is the only church? Answer. Because Christ said, "If a man will not hear the church, let him be as the heathen." He did not say, if a man will not hear a portion of the gospel in man-made substitute churches. Question. You cannot deny that you are bigoted in your exclusive claims. Answer. Bigotry is blind zeal. It is not bigotry to say that a thing cannot be true if its opposite is proved to be correct. Truth must exclude error. Question. But are you not obliged by the law of charity? Christ said, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Answer. We are obliged by the law of charity, but charity does not forbid one to tell the truth. It forbids blaming people who, through no fault of their own, do not know the truth. Nor would the Catholic Church wish Protestants to admit that she is right if she were not right. And since she can prove that they are not right, she is not doing to them what she would not have them do to her in denying the correctness of their religion. Question. Your church is doing more to prevent reunion than any other church. Answer. That is a great compliment to the Catholic Church when we consider the conditions others lay down as the basis of reunion. For it means that she is doing more than any other church to keep intact the religion entrusted to her by Christ, and that she steadily refuses to let her heart run away with her head by admitting that whatever sincere but mistaken men would like to be true is good enough, and that what Christ exactly taught does not really matter. Question. At least Protestantism is more tolerant than Catholicism. I am an Anglican, but I do not say that I am right. I believe in everyone believing as he thinks best and not criticizing others. Answer. You take up an extraordinary position. If you do not say that you are right, you cannot have definite grounds for your belief, and such belief is credulity. And do you really believe in everyone believing in his own belief, whether that belief be right or wrong? If so, you believe in people believing in error. But Christ came precisely to stop people from believing in error. Far from allowing people to believe in their own beliefs, he commanded them to give up their previous beliefs and believe in what he taught, if they wish to save their souls. I believe with you in not criticizing others. I give them credit for sincerity and goodness, but it is quite lawful to criticize their theories. Question. But in the end, is not religion a matter of opinion? Answer. If you exclude the Catholic Church, I'm afraid it is. That other churches think so is shown by the amazing exchanges of pulpits and attendances. But the Catholic Church is a different thing altogether. Until we prove a thing, it is a matter of opinion. Thus, before Australia was discovered, it was a matter of opinion as to whether a southern continent existed or not. But once discovered, it was no longer a matter of opinion. So too, if God had never given a revelation about religion, it might be a matter of opinion. But once God speaks in a definite way, it is no longer a matter of opinion. When the Creator speaks, the creature must simply accept. Now God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who established one definite church, to which He gave His teaching authority. This does not look like a religion being a matter of opinion. Here we have God's decision, and we must accept it. If our human opinion suggests anything against the teaching of Christ, or against the teaching of His church, we just renounce our own fallible ideas as being the foolish notions of untaught children. The Protestant clings to his own opinions whether they are in harmony with God's explicit teachings or not, nor does he make much effort to find out what those teachings are. But God would no more admit that the religion revealed by him is a matter of opinion than your grocer would admit that the amount owing to him is a mere matter of opinion. Question. Would it not be better to say that religion is a matter of conscience? Answer. No. If the individual conscience is to be the guide, there will be as many religions as consciences. There are right consciences and wrong consciences. Conscience is right if it squares with the laws of God. It is warped if it be at variance with the will of God. However, if conscience alone matters, why did not Christ leave us all to our consciences instead of carefully teaching his apostles a definite set of doctrines to be preached and to be believed? Conscience must accept the teachings of Christ, who could neither be deceived nor deceive us. Question. Why try to convert people to the Catholic Church? Answer. Why did Christ try to convert people to his special doctrines? And why did he send his church to teach all nations? If God gives the truth to man by sending his Son, is it not better to have that truth to guide one's conduct? Or is it better to be in partial or total ignorance, omitting much that ought to be done, and being forgiven by God only because not knowing any better? To know the truth and live exactly as God intends is much better than asking to be excused from it on the plea of ignorance. Question. You insist then that not any form of Christianity will do, but that we ought to join the Catholic Church? Answer. Yes. As a matter of fact, a close study of other forms will suggest only reasons for abandoning them, whilst an equally close study of Catholicism intensifies the conviction that in the Catholic Church and in her alone can the full truth be found.